You're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today, oh boy, it is St. Vincent. How can anybody have you? How can anybody have you and lose you? How can anybody have you and lose you? Not lose their mind too. The night before St. Vincent came into World Cafe, she played a show in Philly. And when I say she played a show in Philly, she really played a show in Philly. Later this year, St. Vincent plans to take a band out on the road, but when I saw her, it was just St. Vincent standing up there playing to a backing track that filled in all the other parts. She sang and shredded like a monster on guitar and wore her version of a power suit, a latex leotard and thigh-high boots.
I feel incredibly powerful. And I don't feel incredibly powerful because I've tried to figure out what people will think is sexy. I feel like a superhero. This is what feminism is getting to decide what power looks like for you.
St. Vincent's show was sensory overload spectacle. Fluorescent colors all around, video projection screens, and a different neon guitar for what seemed like every single song. She played two sets. The first was made up of more theatrical interpretations of some of her older songs. And then after an intermission just long enough to peel off one latex outfit and put on another, she played her entire new album, Mass Seduction, from start to finish. It's really something to see. So just a moment ago, you heard the album version of St. Vincent's song, Los Angeles, and it's massive. But when St. Vincent came into World Cafe Studio, she was wielding just an acoustic guitar to play a cozy little show in front of a crowd, wearing a black hoodie, hood up, big dark sunglasses, and a Sesame Street chic green fuzzy coat. And here's what she sounded like performing that very same song, Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, the winter never comes. In Los Angeles, the mothers milk their young, but I can keep running, no, I can keep running. The Los Angeles hang out by the bar, burn the pages of unwritten memoirs, but I can keep running, no, I can keep running, How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? Stars, girls in cages playing their guitars, but how can I leave? I just follow the hood of my car. In Los Angeles, the waves they never break. They build and build until you don't have no escape. But how can I leave? I just follow my hood to the sea. Go to sleep. How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? Oh, could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind too? How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind? Oh, how could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind? How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you? How could anybody have you and lose you and not lose their mind, oh.
That's St. Vincent performing live at the World Cafe. That is Las Ageless off her new album called Mass Seduction. She's my guest here on the World Cafe. St. Vincent, welcome.
Hi, World Cafe. Hi, Talia.
Oh, hey. Happy to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. I love it.
So you're all alone on stage during this tour. There are a couple people like pulling curtains back and forth. But other than that, it's just you. Why did you decide to be all alone on this tour?
Why did I decide to be all alone on this tour? I'm really drawn to things that scare me. And I'm afraid of everything. So that works out pretty well. I'm drawn to a lot of things.
You don't strike me as somebody who's scared of everything.
Oh, I'm scared of everything.
Really?
Yeah, but I do things anyway.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't stop me from right. doing things. But yeah, I mean, my fight or flight mechanism is like, no, flight. but I wanted to just be bold and do something that was scary. And I guess it was scary to me to see if I could entertain 4,000 people by myself for an hour and a half.
You're captivating at it. And what's really interesting is that it's so about you, like you are the only focus, but it's not in an egotistical way. Like that's the weird thing about watching you do that is like everyone is riveted by you, but I wouldn't come away from that at the end and think like, oh, St. Vincent wanted us to watch her do our show.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's not a vanity exercise. I mean, there's a
whole lot.
Doesn't
look like it, yeah.
There's a whole lot of unpacking and deconstructing of like identity even. I mean, if you choose to look at it through that lens, it's like I'm saying no, I get to say what looks powerful. I get to say what is power for me. I get to define that.
It's also just so entertaining. Like you've spent an unbelievable amount of time and thought putting on a show for people.
Yeah, I think it really started with working with David Byrne on the Love This Giant record, where we did a whole tour where there was choreography. And at first I was very resistant to that because I came up in the early 90s where if you were wearing a shirt that you hadn't worn all day on stage, if you dared to like put on a different item of clothing, then you were like a poser and you were trying too hard. And the idea of authenticity was so baked into this idea of like, you know, indie rock and come as you are. But I, after working with David, I was like, you know what? I want to be entertained. I want to see a show. I want to think through all the elements. I mean, it's tough times. It's weird times. And people pay good money to come have an experience. Like, they should get an experience.
Yeah, I'm interested in what you said about power too, because the power that you command by the way that you're postured and even by what you're wearing, like in the first act, you're wearing this strapless, I'm telling you like you don't know, but for people who haven't seen the show, this like strapless fluorescent pink bodysuit and these like thigh-high boots that are so gorgeous. And maybe on anybody else owning that in a different way, it would have looked a really different way. And on you standing there and doing what you do, it looks like somebody who's choosing everything. Like you're so in control.
Yeah. I had an interesting question. I do these Q&As before the show, and I had a woman ask me, you know, you get up on stage and very little clothing and you're in this, you know, kind of bunny suit and thigh high boots and all this, and she's like, do you ever does that make you feel vulnerable, or do you feel like gawked at or this and that. And honestly, the thought had never occurred to me. I was like, no. Like, this is what feminism is getting to decide what power looks like for you. I mean, feminism is believing that women should have agency over their own bodies and seeing the ways in which that is thwarted for women. So it gets into a bigger conversation. I'm sure it's like a 2 years of gender studies or whatever, but the main takeaway is like, no, I get to decide. I feel incredibly powerful. And I don't feel incredibly powerful because I've tried to figure out what people will think is sexy. I think I feel like a superhero.
It's exactly what it looks like. That's so funny. If I could go back in time and show you the one thing that I posted on social media after seeing the show, it was St. Vincent equals superhero. It is exactly it. That's exactly what it looks like. St. Vincent is my guest here on The Royal Cafe. Her new album is called Mass Seduction. There was one song that you took a bow after in the show that I saw. And it was like a tiny little bow, the only bow in an hour and a half long show. And it was after New York.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that song means something particular to you that would make you want to acknowledge the audience after it with a bow, which is what a bow is.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I was trying to make the point that with a song like New York, you could substitute any city for it. I mean, obviously, in the song, there's landmarks in New York, but that idea of a place not being the same without the people you love in it that's universal. So I've kind of tried to, in whatever city I'm in, for a little bit of riffing, like substitute the name of that city and sort of like landmarks of that city.
Give me an example of one that you liked that you did.
Oh God. In Philly, I managed to give a shout out to Wawa, which is like the gas station convenience store that is just specific to Philly and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and people lose their minds.
Yeah.
But what it is, and what's so great about the craft of the song itself is that, like any great song that we love and hang on to, is a song in which we can substitute or project our own experiences, our own people, mm-hmm. our own landmarks into. And that's what this song is. And I imagine you must be very proud of it. Which is, I guess, what I mean by asking you why you would have bowed after that song. Like, it just seems like one that you feel proud of.
Oh, that's sweet. I hadn't thought of it exactly like that. I feel like it's so sincere that I almost feel like it's a little bit of like a wink with the audience. The bow is like a wink. It to me, it's like, oh, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Let's hear you perform it for us here acoustically today. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Here's New York by St. Vincent.
New York is in New York with that you love. So far in a few blocks to be so low. And if I call you from first, I feel new. We're the only other sucker in the city who can handle me. New love wasn't true love, back to you, love. So much for a home run with some blue blood. If I last drawed you on it, I've been new. We're the only other sucker in the city who can stand me. I have lost a hero. I have lost a friend. But for you, darling, I'd do it all again. I have lost a hero. I have lost a friend. But for you, darling, I'd tell it all again. New York isn't New York without you, love. So few of our old crew left on Astor. So if I trade out for some Hollywood, where the only other sucker in the city who would only other sucker in the city who would only other sucker in the city who I have lost a friend, but for you, darling, I'd tell it all again. I have lost a hero, I have lost a friend, but for you, darling, I'd tell.
That's New York, performed live here by St. Vincent today on acoustic guitar, on the record. It's on piano. Your voice on this album is quite tremendous, like the malleability of it. And I've been a fan of your voice for a really long time, but I've heard you use it on Mass Seduction in different ways. On the title track, like the power that you command is tremendous. And then on the song Young Lover, you hit this note that is so colossal. So I want to play it for people for a second.
Oh, great.
If that's okay. That's some Young Lover. St. Vincent is my guest here today. That's off her new album called Mass Seduction. So that note knocked me out and surprised me. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, it's so fun. It's funny, the reality of singing that note. I mean, it seems like something that I would have like had a wind machine going, and I would have like maybe been standing on top of a mountain or something to hit it. But ironically, I built a studio in Los Angeles, and I was in the studio in Los Angeles, like in my pajamas at like 8 p.m., no, just alone in the studio. And I just reached for it, and it was there. And it was one take. It was just there. And so I just did it, and it happened. I was like, okay, great. Thank you for that.
That is fun. What I said when we listened to it today while we were getting ready for this was it sounds like when you, I've had this experience, and anybody who's ever taken voice lessons has had this experience, when you reach a new peak and you can hear yourself hitting the note, but you can also feel the excitement in your heart that you're freaking out that it's coming out
yeah.
of you. Like I can now literally feel that on your take.
Yeah. I really couldn't believe it. It's not like auto-tuned or any, it's just like, oh my God, I did that. Great.
That's exactly what it
so
sounds
exciting.
Like. That's so great. St. Vincent is my guest here on The Royal Cafe. Her new album is called Mass Seduction. When you were making this, you work long days, I think. You seem like a very immersive person.
Yeah. When I was writing this record, I just went pure nun mode. I didn't drink. I didn't have sex. I didn't... stay out late.
Did you decide that as you were making it, like this feels better to not engage in any of these things while I'm trying to tell these stories?
Yeah,
because a lot of the stories sound like those things. Like it's like you're experiencing them through your art rather than through your life well, at that time.
You know, so, I mean, the experiences, you know, not word for word or fact for fact by any means, but the experiences that I talk about in the record, I lived through. But in order to write about them, I couldn't be living them at the same time. So it was actually a wonderful period of like 6 months or whatever it was of pretty much a shoot. Like if Soylent had been available, I would have had that. You know what I mean?
So you wouldn't have to stop and have meals and
It was completely, it was everything insular, productive, dreaming, making. And it was, I eschewed pretty much all pleasures. Except for Pilates. How
luxurious.
How luxurious is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask what your release or your like personal treat was, but okay, Pilates.
There, it was, you know, meditative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
there true. Were, I did, I, but it was, you know, in that time, I finished an album. I planned a tour. I wrote a film. I pitched to direct another film. It was crazy productive. It showed me how much energy I was giving to other things and how much I can really do with like total focus.
Yeah.
And a lot of coffee.
So you worked with Jack Antonoff on this record, and from what we hear, you had this like very important dinner with him where you decided that you were going to make something that was going to go for the jugular together. Mm-hmm. That is the phrase that we've heard. What he's worked with Taylor Swift and he's worked with Lorde, so obviously his production chops are something you'd want to capitalize on. But what made him as a person somebody that you wanted to have around during your process?
Jack Antonoff, he's one of the shiny ones. He has an optimism that is in no way naive. He's just the ultimate yes we can, like cheerleader, makes you feel like you can really do anything and go anywhere, and he never makes you feel embarrassed for any idea. And he just has a really great sense of making sure that nothing gets in the way of the emotion of the song, and really isn't interested in irony.
Say more about taking the irony out of things. Like, is there a song in particular where you're like, there is not even a shred, not even a nano, micro, whatever gram of irony? Is it earnest?
Yeah, it's earnestness. Slow Disco, mm-hmm, is a very earnest song. Smoking Section is a very earnest song. There's not any irony.
No, there isn't.
The feel-good song of the summer.
Seriously. Well, since you brought up Smoking Section, I was gonna save it for a little bit later, but I'm gonna ask you about it now. This is I want to play people a piece of the song in a moment, but first, the thing about it, when you hear it, this is the song that closes St. Vincent's new record, Mass Seduction, Smoking Section, and it resonates, I would think, for anybody who's ever dealt with depression, as what you really hit on is the contrast of when you're really down and depressed and low, you need nobody to see you, but then you also have this like almost mortal need to be seen. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what that song feels like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember like where you were or what you were looking at? I don't want to assume that it's personal in any way, but you
it's incredibly personal.
Okay.
I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, the whole record is my life through a lens, you know. Smoking Section, weirdly enough, it was the first song that I wrote for the album, and it was something, lyrics that I wrote on a tour bus, and it's the internal, you know, monologue of somebody who is depressed. I was depressed, so. But you sound like you know a thing or two about depression.
Ever? Yeah, it's really, it's one of like the more freeing things to say, like I'm somebody who has dealt with this or does deal with this. And it's really nice to be able to see it and hear it in art. Just like I really appreciate how you put that. And I guess what's moving is that people talk about what you do as high concept or, you know, avant-garde and all of that stuff, but you're so personal and you're so, it's without barrier. Like that is the most generous thing that you could give to a fan like me who might know what that is.
Yeah.
And want to hear it in music, you know?
Well, thank you. I mean, I guess more than anything, like I'm not ashamed of any aspect of the human experience or condition, or if I am, I think that's all the more reason to talk about it. Because I don't know. I think at the core of things, you know, everybody feels the same way, and that's what art and music has given to me for my entire life, is feeling understood, not feeling alone, describing this that ineffable that really you only connect to in these short bursts of transcendence, and like that's what it's given to me. So the fact that I get to give back to the canon is my life's work. This is what I have to offer the world. That's it. Like, I can't cook. You know what I mean? This is all I have.
Well, let's listen to the song and see if anybody will begrudge you for not being able to cook after we hear this. This is St. Vincent with Smoking Section.
Sometimes I go to the edge of my roof, my think I'll jump just to punish you. And if I should float on the taxis below, no one will notice, no one will know.
That's Smoking Section, St. Vincent, off her new album called Mass Seduction. Let's talk about birthdays and movies.
Birthdays and movies.
Yeah, let's change the pace for a second. Before you perform at your concert, you screen a film, and it's called
The Birthday Party.
And this is a film that you co-wrote and directed for The XX, which is an anthology of horror films written by women, which is super cool. Can I spoiler alert, say really fast what happens? It takes place at a birthday party, and basically the dad of the birthday girl is discovered to be dead by the mom of the birthday girl before the party starts. She has this great idea to stuff him in the body of a panda costume that happens to be at this birthday party. Yeah. And then at the pivotal moment when the cake comes out and this little girl is about to, you know, celebrate her birthday in front of all of her friends, St. Vincent is laughing as I'm saying this because it's hysterical, but it's also terrifying. The panda head falls off into the cake, and then we find out that dad is dead and all the kids scream in horror. And then
so sorry world,
right? And then a screen comes up and it says, you can say it or I can say it.
Oh, please go for it.
Okay, the memory Lucy suppressed from her 7th birthday that wasn't really her mom's fault, even though her therapist says it's probably why she fears intimacy. I thought back to what happens when something bad happens on your birthday and what a loaded day that can be.
Yeah.
And I just thought you must have had some weird birthdays in your life, or maybe some bad birthdays.
You know, you're so right that birthdays are loaded. I mean, because even if you say, like, I don't want any gifts, don't do anything, it's fine, it's just a day, you secretly want a parade. I did have a funny birthday when I was... I was probably eight or nine, and I grew up in the suburbs of Texas, and putt-putt golf was all the rage. So my sister Mary has a birthday the day before mine, 2 years before me, but hers is the 27th and mine is the 28th. And for her birthday, we were going to a putt-putt golf place in Garland, Texas, and I was in the car with my mom and my stepdad and my friend, and we were headed to the birthday party, and a pink sofa from the back of a truck fell off right in front of my mom's minivan, and she had to sort of swerve. And she's not the best driver, like, anyway, but she swerved to miss the sofa, and we sort of, like, hit the guardrail and then did a couple spins across the highway and ended up on the other side on the shoulder. No one was hurt. It was a miracle.
But it was your birthday.
It was, you know, on the way to a birthday party. And it was really, really chaotic. But then my mother, who's also like a pretty obsessive picture taker, got out to take pictures of the car. I'm not sure what the thinking was. Maybe it was for insurance or something. But she stepped in an ant pile and she went into anaphylactic shock. So between like the adrenaline of the car wreck probably just hitting her and then stepping in a fire ant pile, she fainted. And my stepdad had to resuscitate her right in front of our eyes. So in addition to missing the putt-putt, I thought my mom was gonna die. It was a terrible birthday.
Oh my gosh.
It was so terrible.
That's the worst birthday. And I mean, I don't want to play armchair psychologist here, but maybe that's the memory that Lucy suppressed from this time that her mom did a thing.
It.
Oh man.
Love it. That's... Oh, but it's, you know what though, I have to say, you remember when things go poorly. I don't remember wonderful birthdays. I remember hilariously bad birthdays. I remember the disappointments and the humiliations and the trauma, because that's the stuff that makes you a better person.
Absolutely. Yeah. St. Vincent is my guest here on the World Cafe. Let's hear you play another one from the record, the title track, Mass Seduction. Here's St. Vincent live at the World Cafe.
Black saints and a lady playing knockoff soul, a punk rock romantic slumped on the kitchen floor, nuns in stress positions smoking Marlboros, Lolita is weeping, the bride is beautiful, my seduction. My seduction, I can't turn off what turns me on. My seduction, I can't turn off what turns me on. My seduction, I hold you like a weapon. My seduction, don't turn off what turns me on. Don't turn off what turns me on. Don't turn off what turns me on. Mass destruction. Don't turn off what turns me on. Smiling, nihilism, angry, glass half full. Drinking, manic panic. Singing, boatman's call. Teenage Christian virgins holding out their tongues. Paranoid secretions falling on basement rugs. Mass seduction, I can't turn off what turns me on. Mass seduction, I can't turn off what turns me on. Mass seduction, I'll hold you like a weapon. Mass destruction, don't turn off what turns me on. Mass destruction, I can't turn off what turns me on. Mass seduction, I can't turn off what turns me on. Mass seduction, I hold you like a weapon. Mass destruction, don't turn off what turns me on. Don't turn off what turns me on. What a bore to be so adored. Oh, what a bore to be so adored. Seduction. destruction. I can't turn off what turns me on. My seduction. I can't turn off what turns me on. My seduction. I'll hold you like a weapon. Mass destruction. Don't turn off what turns me on. 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 Mass destruction. I can't turn off what turns me on. Mass destruction. I can't turn off. Turns me on, mass destruction. I hold you like a weapon, mass destruction. Don't turn off what turns me on.
That's St. Vincent performing live at the World Cafe, Mass Seduction, the title track off her latest record. One of the songs that scares the bananas out of me on the album is Pills.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
But here's why. And when I think about it, so it reminds me a bit of Radio Gaga by Queen, where it's not, where it's not finger wagging cautionary tale, but you're creating a state. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that state when I listen to it. And it sounds like the brain circus that happens like when you take an Ambien before you pass out.
Yes.
Like that's the brain circus, it sounds like to me. And it scares the bananas out of me, mm-hmm. like I said. Can you remember when the seed of that song came to you?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Ambien, the seed of the song came to me because I had taken a sleeping pill. And as I was doing it, I was like, oh, pills to wake, pills to sleep, da-da-da-da-da. And that kind of hook came to me. And, so I wrote it on pills.
To sleep.
Yeah.
Or to wake as well. Which you don't have to say if you don't want to. But
no, I don't know. It wasn't. No, but I mean, it sort of follows the life cycle of like the speedy upper thing and just like the benzo downer.
Yeah, the end is the total, like the dissolution of the song is the total come down. I want to play a bit of the song for people to hear, and I want to play the part that Cara Delevingne sings on. Which part is this?
The hook, the pills to wake, okay. Pills to sleep.
Pills to wake, pills to sleep. Pills every day of the week. Pills to walk, pills to think. Pills, pills, pills for the family. Pills to grow, pills to shrink. Pills, pills, pills in a good stiff drink. Pills to walk, pills to eat. Pills, pills, pills down the kitchen sink.
That's Pills, St. Vincent. Cara Delevingne singing on that is an English supermodel, and she was your girlfriend for a while. And first of all, that's really great that you can have her like come in and be a part of this record. And what I think is interesting in your relationship with her is that the type of artist that you are and the fame that you have, you could fly under the radar or be delightfully inaccessible. And she's exceptionally famous, and dating her, that was not something that you could get away from. And I had read that your family was doorstepped by the press. What does that mean?
Doorstepped by the press. It means that they found my sister's address and showed up to my sister's house asking basically for dirt.
Like on you or on her?
On me. They were hoping that I had like a fractious relationship with my sister enough to where my sister would go, oh, well, you know, Annie, but I mean, luckily I have a really good relationship with my family and we're super like tight. And also like I haven't done anything totally despicable. So there's not really some horrible skeleton.
What does that make your impulse, what's your impulse to do when something like that happens to your family because of somebody that you're in a relationship with?
Well, I mean, my impulse is very tribal. Like, my impulse, if somebody, like, insulted my sister, I'd want to slit their throat. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you mess with my family, I want there to be, like, swift and brutal retribution. And I want a dispense of it. It was a funny thing. I mean, Kara's a wonderful, like, the most wonderful person and also an incredibly famous person. I mean, Beatlemania kind of famous. You know, like, we were in London getting chased down the – chased in a high-speed car chase with paparazzi.
That sounds terrifying, though.
It is. And you're going to risk everyone's life. You're going to risk your own life. You're going to risk the lives of bystanders. You're going to risk the life of, you know, Kara and me and a driver to get a picture of, like, a sweet, like, young woman walking into her house or walking into a store. Like, to me, I was more like, what kind of world are we living in where that's the thing that people value the most?
More than life, yeah.
More than life, yeah.
St. Vincent is my guest here on The Royal Cafe. Her new album is called Mass Seduction. We're going to hear you perform one more song live for us. It's Slow Disco. And I wanted to ask you about the line, "I'm so glad I came, but I can't wait to leave." And you had said somewhere else that this was about how the life you're actually living and the life you could be living are running parallel and that one haunts the other one. That was deep. Do you remember saying, like, yeah, so I just wanted to know what you imagine your parallel life might be doing before we hear you play this song.
My parallel life, I mean, I think the sentiment of "I'm so glad I came, but I can't wait to leave" is really universal. It's like from the very mundane, like, this party, "I'm so glad I came, but I can't wait to just get out of here" to, you know, relationships or just heavier, way heavier things, big life experiences. I don't spend tons of time thinking about my parallel life, but I am acutely aware, you know, I think that my parallel life is, frankly, maybe one where I'm not particularly happy. I mean, maybe stuck in a place I don't want to be.
Yeah.
With someone I don't want to be with. I don't know. Not doing the thing I love. For me, music was always, and being an artist was always so clear. It was the only thing that I really knew.
Let's hear that last song then. This is St. Vincent performing Slow Disco live here at the Royal Cafe.
I sway in place to a slow disco and a glass for the saints and a bar for the road. Am I thinking what everybody's thinking? And I'm so glad I came, but I can't wait to leave. Slip my hand from your hand, leave you dancing with a ghost. Slip my hand from your hand, dancing with a ghost. Well, there's blood in my ears and a fool in the mirror and the bay of mistakes couldn't get any closer. Am I thinking what everybody's thinking? Hey, that I'm so glad I came. can leave you dancing with a ghost. Slip my hand from your hand, leave you dancing with a ghost. But don't it be a slow dance to death?
St. Vincent, Slow Disco, off her new album, Mass Seduction. It has been such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I've so enjoyed this.
St. Vincent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the World Cafe.